This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
One thing the pandemic taught us is to be able to do self-tests for COVID at home. The development and the availability of rapid antigen tests was a welcome relief after the availability issues, of course. And it was so good not to have to queue for a PCR test performed by a medical professional. Well, RATs aren't the only tests you can do at home. There's many others, and the list is growing by the day. But what are the benefits of doing a test at home? And is it a good idea to self-test in the first place? Well, Patty Sher is a lecturer at the Australian Centre for Health Engagement, Evidence and Values for the University of Wollongong. Patty, welcome to Drive.
Thank you very much for having me.
Firstly, what tests are we not talking about? Because some tests are perfectly fine to do at home, aren't they?
So the tests that would be perfectly to do fine to do at home would be the ones that your doctor has referred you to. So, for example, people with diabetes will often monitor their own blood sugar at home. So if it's already something that you do under a treatment, that's absolutely fine. If it's something that's been recommended by a screening program such as the bowel cancer program that's endorsed by a government program or a health organisation, then they should be fine as well. The ones that we're talking about are the ones that are less transparent about whether you need them or whether actually you're going to benefit them as a consumer. So we're talking about a vast number of them, as we found in our study, that are sold to commercially without requiring a doctor's consultation. So there's three types of direct-to-consumer testing that we're talking about. So the home testing kits that people have become quite familiar with after the COVID pandemic. So these are kits that you arrive at home and you can conduct from the start to end and get that result straight away. And then there's another type, which is called self-collected lab tests. So get a kit sent to you in the mail. You collect your own sample at home, package that up and send it to a lab for analysis. And then there's another type, which is called a patient or consumer-requested testing form. So you buy that request online from a company without talking to a doctor first. And you print that off and you take that to a lab and they collect your sample, usually blood or urine there, and get that sent. So that's the types of direct-to-consumer tests that are around. But the kind of conditions, or the purpose that these serve is actually quite vast. In fact, our study found more than 500 products out there, and not all of them are actually going to likely to create benefit for them. And in fact, some of them are actually outright possibly harmful.
I had a look today and there were so many, it was actually quite confusing. And I thought, there's no way, I'd rather go to my GP and just say, what tests do I need to do? But from your study, of the tests available, were there any that could be of benefit to the person doing them?
Sure, we did actually find some that are quite beneficial. So we didn't include pregnancy tests, but pregnancy tests would be an example of something that would be quite convenient and for you to sort of manage your own fertility as you go along. But also we found, sexually transmitted infection testing kits might be potentially useful because these conditions we know are often under-tested. Because there's a bit of social stigma attached to these conditions. So some people do find it a little bit challenging going to the doctors at times. And so having that ability to access some STI tests without their doctor might actually help them to do follow-up. But the quality of these kits are really, really important. So you want to make sure that they're high quality, they're not going to give you a false positive or a false negative. But even though, there is potential benefit, you've still got to be quite careful.
We're chatting with Patty Sher from the University of Wollongong about the number of online tests that you can order and do at home. Patty, what about the general health check tests that are available, that check things like hormone levels, etc.?
Yes.
Are they worth doing?
So we found those tests making up about 40% of the products that are online. So actually, with hormone checks and health status checks, there's actually very limited evidence that measuring these things is going to give you meaningful information that you can act upon to create a benefit. So some people might be quite curious about what their hormone levels are like. Mm. But the thing is, these one-off tests, like hormones actually fluctuate over time, even during the day, over the course of the month, even seasonally. So what you get in one test cannot give you the entire context or the bigger picture of what it might be, you know, say several days down the track in the week or down the month. And so you're not going to be able to be informed properly with those. And some of them, there's just very limited evidence to be testing healthy people, if you'd like. And these tests are often targeted to healthy people. And what the problem often is with testing healthy people is that you might actually incidentally find things that's not going to cause you a problem, but then you become labelled with having something. So it is something that we sort of want people to be a bit careful about.
Just on that, potentially finding a result that you didn't expect, I mean, something that would concern me is, do any of the tests offer any counselling before or after you do the test?
We did find some of them do offer them, although they will come with an additional cost. So some you do buy the test, and then they offer a phone number or a person or an email to, you know, that will offer. So it depends from company to company. Some companies do offer it, some companies don't, but often it does come with that additional cost to it.
Patty,
and what will often happen is that if you've already got a GP, your GP is often your next port of call. And so they are actually the ones that will be asked to, you know, maybe do an additional investigation. And they might even want to run that test again. So you're actually being often over-tested in that process.
Patty, so let's say we think, you know what, I'm going to go online, I'm going to have a look at what tests are there, I might order some. What are some things that we should, I suppose, like a checklist we could go through just to make sure that we are ordering the right test, or whether we're just completely wasting our money and we should really go to our GP?
Sure. So I've got four very, very good questions that you can ask when you do that. So firstly, do I really need this test? So, you know, there's lots of reasons to be, you know, wanting a peace of mind or being curious, but unless you've got really clear symptoms or risk factors for, you know, the condition that you're testing for, you probably don't really need that test. If you're fairly healthy, you're leading a healthy lifestyle, you probably don't need it. And then I would also think about what the consequences would be if you do end up finding conditions that's not going to cause you problems. Do you think you'll need an additional appointment with a GP anyway? And in that case, you should probably go to your GP first instead of picking something from online without knowing how reliable those companies are. And then, you know, is it something that your GP would recommend? If you have a look at my study, there are actually tests that are not reliable. They're not valid, scientifically validated tests out there. We call them quacks, if you'd like, or even conditions that the medical community don't have an agreement on as to whether they're actually real conditions. A test for a leaky gut syndrome, for example, that's a very controversial diagnosis. And so would it be something that your GP would want to offer you? And in fact, if it's something that your GP would offer you and it's justifiable, then it would be covered by Medicare rather than something that you pay yourself as you would with these online tests. And then I would also recommend that you ask whether this is a good quality test. As I recommended before, some tests are not as accurate as they should be, or they're done in a lab that may not be accredited. And sometimes people do buy tests that will require you to send your samples, say your blood or saliva, overseas to be analysed by an overseas lab. Where is it going? What are they going to do with your sample afterwards? What are they going to do with your data? Now, Australian regulators don't have any control over those things, and so think about those risks too.
Patty, I'm just going to go to my GP. It's a lot simpler.
Look, I think that would be the best port of call. Look, these direct-to-consumer tests exist to offer some sort of convenience and choice for the everyday consumer. So, I wouldn't recommend the outright ruling out of them, but I would really urge people to have a think, do a bit of research yourself, and if you do have symptoms that you're worried about, go to your GP.
Patty, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Patty Sher, lecturer at the Australian Centre for Health Engagement, Evidence and Values at the University of Wollongong.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.